Excellent. You may be seated. Thank you very much, Janelda, again for leading us in those choruses and hymns. Just super. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7 today, and you may want to put your finger ahead to John chapter 7 because we're going to go there as well. If you're visiting with us today, over the past number of weeks, I've been talking about cultural wars against the soul. And what we mean by that is that in our culture, there are certain beliefs, teachings, or values that are not in line with Bible teaching or what the Christ follower wants to take on for themselves. And so there's always, throughout the ages, been this tussle or this push of cultural pressure against God's beliefs. And so we believe that the Christ follower needs to be able to think clearly about what does God say about many issues that concern us. But it isn't just a matter of being clear and saying, okay, the Bible says this. It's the issue of us being able to respond in a proper way that is consistent with being like Jesus. And some may say, well, Jesus really got angry at some people at some situations. Yes, he did. But it was usually the religious bigots and uppity-ups that thought that they were totally the judges and the guardians of truth. And yet they were so hypocritical that Jesus revealed God's attitude toward that type of behavior. But the common people, Jesus taught them with authority. And they said, finally, someone is being clear about what God wants, and their life backs it up. And they're not hypocrites, because we all know what those guys in the temple are acting like. And so their confidence was put in Jesus. And we certainly want to be Christ followers when it comes to believing the right things, but reacting to adverse things against what we really believe around us. And we want to react in a way that's honoring to the Lord. So over the past few weeks, we've talked about the fact that the Christian church stands for the fact that there is one God. There is not many, but in our culture, there are so many definitions of what God may be. And even if we were to say God as I understand him, well, what that means is that it's my understanding of what God is that's important. And so I take this part of the Bible and this part of the Bible and this. I agree with all that, but I don't want anything to do with that part of that. So I'm creating my own God. It's convenient to me. And that's not right. That's idolatry. And so some of these gods that we have in our culture aren't gods of wood or stone or Buddha or whatever. It's the God of the mind. And it all comes back to it's about me. And I make my decisions. And I have a right to worship who I want to worship. And of course, defining God in that way is not truth. God has defined himself. So we talked about that cultural pressure and so on. Then we talked about how that we as God's people need to be a holy people, distinct among the cultural norms around us. We talked about the issue that there is an effort to redefine what marriage is, but God himself has defined marriage. A couple weeks ago, we talked about sexual deviance and what it means to be married and have purity. And that goes against our culture where there is living together and there's all kinds of arrangements. And God just basically says, this is not marriage. This isn't what is right. And so we need to go back to God's definition. And then last week, we talked about this whole issue of autonomy and independence. And it's great for me as a person to be strong and to be myself and to discover who God has created me to be. And to a point, I have a spirit of independence, which means I am not leeching off somebody else all the time and I'm totally a needy person and all this stuff. That is somewhat healthy. But in our culture, if we're not careful, there is the thought that I am who I am and I will be who I will be and I don't care what you think. And so I can do what I want and what I do is equally as right or good as what you do. And so I don't need you. And so it goes completely against what we as a church family know is God's plan for us. that there is an interdependency. We are family. We lean on one another. We are brothers and sisters in Christ when we know Jesus personally. And so we are standing against the cultural pressures to adapt to their type of way. So the point would be, and you have on your insert there again this morning, and some of those verses from 1 Peter 5:8, 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2, and 1 Peter 1:13, great verses. He tells us, be self-controlled and alert. In other words, use your mind. God has given you a mind to think with. And we think according to the standard that God has placed before us, which is the Scripture. God has spoken. And I was so excited about 1 Peter 1:13, where he tells us to be clear thinking. And he speaks of the fact, because God will give us grace when Jesus is revealed or when he comes back. And what that really says to me is, I need to be very clear thinking about what God's truth is and how I ought to respond properly as a Christ follower. And I ought not to be ashamed of that, because I am not a loser. And in our culture, sometimes there's that intimidating little tone that says, well, if you don't agree with us, I'm sorry, you're sidelined. We call it marginalization. Push to the side. We don't want you front and center, because if you define marriage as God does, that isn't true with our values. You're going to be pushed to the side here. We just don't want you front. We don't want you in front of those TV cameras. That isn't very good. But sometimes, therefore, we feel like in the shop, when we're working next to attitudes that are not God-like, we're made to look like we're the dummy. We're the loser. And 1 Peter 1:13 says, no, you be very self-controlled and you be clear-minded, because when Jesus comes back, his grace is going to be revealed and you're going to be there. And so that great sense of, I'm not a loser with Jesus. I'm on the winning side. God wins. And so God wants us to have a mindset that is not intimidated by falsehood and by cultural beliefs, but rather follows Jesus, does what Jesus does, reacts in a way that Jesus did, and so on. And so this is what we're trying to do, is to talk through these things a little bit and see just exactly how God wants us to live. So in the quotes that we have often put on the back of your insert, now this morning there's a chart, same chart I used back in 2015, but it's a real good one. The issue is that these quotes have brought out to us that this is often what culture says to us. Our view is equally true to yours, and you must allow our view, and you must also endorse our view, or you will be marginalized, discriminated against, judged, and punished according to our cultural norms or standards. And even now in our country, we have certain laws that say you cannot speak against these types of things. And there is that effort that increasingly you must be politically correct and you must not say certain things. But even when our government tells us to sin by not saying certain things, in this instance, we must graciously choose to obey God and do what God wants us to do. So the point is this. When we consider struggling sometimes against cultural norms, who's judging who? Because often they will bring up the point, well, do not judge. You can't do that. And it's almost like they're trying to use God's word against the believer. And who's judging who is trying to keep us silent, and you can't speak up. So today, what I want to do first is to really ask the question, what does it mean when Jesus said, and Jesus did say it, do not judge? And we want to talk about the manner in which we react when what our beliefs say and so on are not in agreement with what the culture is trying to push us to do. So to be sure, here in chapter 7, verse 1, right off the bat, do not judge. Well, Jesus was talking to a bunch of Pharisees here, among other people, and it was a command, do not judge. Some were in the habit of continually finding fault. They were critics with a negative tone, and they were condemning. They had an unfavorable mindset that says, you are not up to standard as I am. You see the tone? They had put themselves in a position where they felt that they were more acceptable, they measured up more, they sat on a higher chair, and they looked down on the rest of us and said, because you're not doing this rule, and you're not keeping that restriction, and you're not washing your hands enough during the day, and you're not worshiping in this way, or you're not acting in this way, you are unacceptable. And it was that big negative tone that Jesus was referring to, just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees would refer to. We know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, we are told, be careful. If you think you stand, you take heed lest you fall. And so while he's talking to those who were like Pharisaical type people who had a real problem with judging, we all know that if we're not careful, we can get in this rut ourselves and we just get down in the mouth and down in the attitude. And we can be great about 90% of our Christian conversation, but you bring up that one little subject and we're just diving for the condemning attitude. And so we need to be very careful about this. So do not judge. Why? Well, the first thing is, it's a command. And James 4:12 says that God is the only competent judge. So we have to be careful that we don't put our plight, ourselves, in the place of God. Because that's not who we are. The second thing here is, if you just look at the next verse too, do not judge or you will be judged by the same measure that you are judging yourself. What he's saying here is that judging is reciprocal. We will be judged by the very same measuring line or standard that we are judging others. Now we know that if a person is so open and verbal about their opinions about other people, there's going to be some time when another person is going to pick them up on it and fire it right back at them. Does that ever happen at your work? Does that happen in your house? Well, it does, doesn't it? And that if you give it out, you better be prepared to take it back. But this isn't quite what he's referring to here. He's referring to the fact that it is God who will judge us as we have judged others. And God will be a fair and a just judge, and he will do it rightly. And so here it's not talking about others particularly, but it is talking about God judging us as we have judged. Chapter 6, 14 and 15 kind of brings this out, you know. If you forgive, you will be forgiven. If you do not forgive, neither will you be forgiven. God reacts according to what we're doing here a little bit, and he will have a just and a fair judgment. What verses 1 and 2 do for me is this. They tell me, or they condition me, to be cautious with my mouth, to be hesitant and quiet, to not be too quick to give my opinion. I guess I'm a person that you see what you get, I think, a lot of the time, and I try to be transparent and open, and so some people say that I would be a person who wears my heart on my sleeve, and I've noticed through the years that if I have an opinion, you know, it just let it go. But I'm learning, I think, to hold it back a little bit. I have views; they're not wrong, of course. But not everybody wants to hear them, okay? And so I have to be careful not to just put my view right out there to be attacked or to be agreed with, or you just have to hold back a little bit. and be careful. So be cautious, because we ought not to be so judgmental. If we have a tendency in that direction, Jesus says, don't do that. You will be judged in the same way, and you need to be very careful about what you're saying. So this is a good piece of advice. So it is a command. It is reciprocal. Judgment, the judgmental attitude also is hypocritical. And when he uses the illustration here of the speck in your eye and the plank, it comes right from the carpenter shop where Jesus grew up. So it's a real life illustration for him. But when he uses speck and plank, he's mentioning an exaggeration to make a point. He wants to get across to us the fact that the hypocrite is one who pretends to act like a physician. I'm going to take this plank out of your eye, when really he is ailing himself, and he's got a plank in his compared to a little speck that he's nitpicking about in somebody else's eye. And so he's hypocritical. He is one who is not looking at himself, and he's not giving self-examination. He's just fault-finding toward other people, and so he is inconsistent. He's not helpful. He's blind because he's got a plank or a big sin that blinds him in his own character and personality. And so if that is the case, how can he really see clearly to be helpful to another person? So let's say it this way also. It may not be the problem that the hypocrite is wrong in his diagnosis of something. He may be very true. But the problem here is that he fails to apply to himself the criticism that he so meticulously applies to his brother. So we've heard many people who are just blathering all over the place about what other people are doing in a very negative fashion, and in anger, and in all honesty, I'm going to tell them what I think. And they're not so much wrong a lot of the time, but it's that they haven't applied the same critical spirit to their own actions. And so this is hypocritical, and we need to be very careful about having that type of attitude. It's the guilt of discrimination and arrogance. So in reality, Jesus is telling us, don't be like this, and we don't want to be like this. But what we also want to note is that Jesus teaches us to make right judgments. I take this as being a little bit like this. Jesus, or God, and Jesus, he is God, created us with a mind. He's given us a brain. And the cultural things that sometimes try to coerce us into thinking their views and accepting their views, it's almost like they're saying, you need to put your brain on hold. Maybe it's brain freeze, because obviously you're not thinking properly, because you're not agreeing with everybody else and getting with the program of cultural norms and cultural standards. We don't care what God's standards are. You need to get with the program. And so the issue of making a right judgment is Jesus' way of saying to us, I'm not asking you here to put your brain on hold. Or just because you call yourself a Christian or a Christ follower, you're not to put your brain up on the shelf and let it go dormant. Not at all. What he was saying in Do Not Judge is, don't put yourself on a throne and look negatively at everybody else around you without taking a good look at yourself. What's the old song that Anne Murray and some of the others used to sing? You take a look at yourself and you'll look at others differently. And so that's what we're talking about a little bit. Now let's just flip over to John chapter 7. Here again is another instance where Jesus is talking to people at the feast, and of course others were around. And it says down in verse 21, John 7, he said to them, I did one miracle, and you were all astonished, yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come through Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a child on the Sabbath. Now, if a child, excuse me, if a child can be circumcised on the Sabbath, that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing the whole man on the Sabbath? You see what the judgmentalism was doing in their lives? They couldn't see past the plank to figure out that Jesus was actually fulfilling the law by healing a whole person on the Sabbath day. And then this is the verse that we want to pick up on, verse 24. Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. Make a right judgment. That's God's will for us. Use your Christian mind. Think clearly about what we're to be doing. So what does making a right judgment look like? Well, let's just go back up here to about verse 16. Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. The first priority to every Christ follower, in order to make a right judgment, we need to understand, and we do, that God's will is the standard. It is not about me, in my view, my bias, my opinion, my discrimination against certain things. It is about what does God say. And for me to say, well, God says, is not being discriminating. It is going to the source of the standard that I hold to. And to say God says is not a judgmental statement. It is going back to the lawgiver, to the person who established his will, and he is the sovereign in the universe. So it's a desire to honor God. What has God said? And that becomes my primary concern. Down in verse 18, he speaks of the fact that we need to be a man of truth where there is nothing false in him. And so we need to know our Bibles. We can speak with no authority other than, did God say that? And that is our primary source. Even in all the things that we sang about this morning, these great things, the Bible stands, everything that we believe and anticipate by faith in the future are based on promise. God promised. God gave his word. What we know is that all the promises fulfilled to the present day reaffirm that God can be trusted, and I have faith in his promises for my future. And so increasingly our faith is deepened. I learn to go back to God said, and that becomes the source of making a right judgment. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 7 for a minute. And the second thing about having right judgment is you need to deal with personal sins. If you've got a plank in your eye, you need to get it out of there. If there's a sin that you're wrestling with that is blinding you to your own faults, you need to deal with that. And Jesus said the reason you take the plank out of your own eye there in verse 5 is so that you will have the ability to see clearly in order to help your brother who has a speck in us. So we see that it's the caring versus the condemning attitude. And we talked last week about Galatians 6, 1 and 2. You who are spiritual, if there's a person who's overcome with a fault, who claims to be a Christ follower, you restore them with a spirit of gentleness and meekness and caring, not condemning. Okay? So this is very important. I need to pay attention to myself. The hypocrite does not pay attention to himself. He just wants everybody else to do what he thinks is the standard. And we've all been through decades sometimes when the church has had so many rules and regulations that are not mentioned in the Bible. And there's a certain degree of sternness came about among God's leaders because they just didn't realize that their view wasn't sometimes exactly biblical, but it was their view. And so they added rule upon rule, as some of you ladies were talking about on Thursday in your group. And so then you have created Pharisaism with the Bible plus all the rules. And I'm not against good rules, and I'm not even questioning the motives for certain things, because really our church fathers wanted to protect us against danger. If we're not careful, they may have put us in a point in our history where we were not thinking either. And we just went along with the rules. And you had to come to church in a tie, in a shirt. And you could not certainly take a glass of wine. And you could not certainly dance a little bit on the side. Of course, we would want music that's honoring to the Lord and not sexually or violence-oriented. And you get what I mean. But many of the motives of our forefathers were very good. They didn't want to see us get hurt by drinking. But sometimes they went too far, and they destroyed any fun. You know, you got to look ugly. You got to look sad. You got to look spiritual. You know, have jowls on your face that could never crack a smile. You know what I'm saying? And so we need to be very careful about this. We need to deal with our personal sins. Thirdly here, it involves making wise decisions, and that's certainly in verse 6 when he says, don't throw what is sacred to dogs and you don't put your pearls before pigs. He was talking to Jews. This was very offensive. That was unthinkable for them. Why would we throw our pearls or good sacred things to dogs and pigs? And what he was really saying was, when you have the Christian truth, when you know what God says, you be very careful and have discernment about when you should speak that. You just don't throw it out all the time, because even in Proverbs it says if you speak to a mocker, he's just going to turn on you and lash out with his attitude in his mouth. You need to be discerning. And if it's just going to be a waste, you need to be careful. And even sometimes when I truck drive and I'm with guys here and there, and I have various opportunities from time to time, I'm sitting there and I may be in the seat or whatever, and I'm saying, God, do you want me to speak to this person at this time? And sometimes God just sort of, in my spirit, says, no, not a good time. Other times he'll say, yeah, let it go. And I will say something. But I need to be wise in terms of how we speak. And in Matthew 13, 11 to 15, this teaches us about using words of wisdom, and we don't want them to be wasted or laid open to abuse or mocking and so on. And then making a right judgment involves having a mind that discerns the truth. It's very interesting that right after do not judge in verse 1, if you go over to verse 15, watch out for the false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they are ferocious wolves, but by their fruit, you will recognize them. So on one hand, we need to be very careful about negative judging. The other hand, he says, don't throw your brains out the window. There's some false teachers going around here. You need to make a right judgment, because if you don't, these ones will come among you and they will destroy the church unity and fellowship. They will introduce false teachings and they will bring you down. And so do you see that Jesus isn't encouraging brain freeze or brain fog or anything else? He's saying, just don't be that condemning hypocrite. But you better be able to think. And so having a discerning mind and heart is so important to stand against false teaching and watch out. So the point is that right judgment will have a discriminating element to it. Of course it does. God is a discriminating God. This is true. This is false. This is right. This is wrong. This is holy. This is impure. You need to do this. Don't do that. That's a discernment that discriminates and sees clearly between what is favorable to God and what is not. And we need to have that type of mindset in order to judge rightly. It is not blind judgment, but it distinguishes according to the fact that God's word itself is the standard. It is not me. God said this. And so even when God says it, I don't have to get emotional and real upset if someone else disagrees with me on that. My role is to say, God said. And it isn't my degree of anger or frustration or impatience that's going to win that person to following God's word. That takes us to the last little point here. Right judgment going forward. Our culture says you can't discriminate. You can't hold that, hold us to a higher standard. You can't judge rightly. We judge your view to be equal with ours, and or if it is not, you are being discriminating. And the bottom line is this, that God wants us to know what he says. You have this in your bulletin. We need to speak the truth with love. We need to practice love toward others. That's verse 12 there. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In other words, don't do to others what you don't want them to do unto you. And then live a distinctive life. This is very exciting because this is really where I took this message series from. We have things that war against our spirits, and therefore live such good lives among those who don't follow Jesus that they may see your life and they'll glorify God on the day he visits you. In other words, you're going to make Jesus attractive by the way that you live, and they'll want to know this Jesus, even though at this point they may not agree with your views or what you're doing. But you just live it. You shine, Jesus, shine through me. And then we pray for wisdom. That's Galatians 1 and verse 5. Part of the issue, if you want to look at characters in the Bible, is that we need to be a Daniel. Daniel in captivity in Babylon, we need to dare to be like him. You know, I don't agree with what's going on here. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to judge you for this. But this is what God wants me to do, and I will follow. And when he did, God used Daniel in that culture to shine for Jesus. Think of Joseph. He stood for Jesus, and he was accused of adultery, and he was put in prison. Joseph was innocent, but he stood as one who had right judgment and as one who was in a culture that wanted nothing to do with the only God. Egypt did not like the Israelites, and yet Joseph was honored by God, and God used Joseph as a savior to that nation because he represented God well. And that's God's call upon our lives. So part of what we're talking about this morning is we need to have the right mindset. I follow Jesus, and I am not going to be a judge, but I am going to judge rightly. And it's okay, according to God's standard. But the manner or the manners I use in doing that also are consistent with the manner in which Jesus presented truth. And those who wanted to hear him responded. Those who did not want to hear him killed him. And some would say that we need to be prepared as our culture increasingly becomes worse and worse, and that's what the Bible says will happen in the end days, that some of us may actually suffer for our faith, as in the past many suffered and died. And so this is a stand that we as believers need to take, and may God help us to be people who make right judgments. Our final hymn, may the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day. This is God's will for us. Let's stand to sing two or three verses here. We hope that you'll stay and have fellowship with us in the foyer. And please sign up for a mailbox if you choose to do that, if your name's not there yet. But also please sign those two cards that are there so that we can give them to the respective families. Let's pray. Father, in all of this, we know we've all had moments where our emotions got out of control, even though we knew what God said. And so, Father, help us today to be those who display a proper mindset and have proper manners in terms of how we speak the truth, but we do it with love. And we don't apologize. We're not pushed to the side, but rather we represent Jesus well. Make the teaching about God our Savior attractive through our lives in this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.